Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson.
And I'm Ryan Dobson, and to get us started today, I'll share the famous words of Winston Churchill, Dad, one of your favorites. This was spoken in 1940 about the British Royal Air Force. He said, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few."
As you know, I have a big painting of Winston Churchill just outside my office, and I do admire that man, and in fact, I admire all military people. It is true today that we have great love and respect for our United States military families.
Right.
Our servicemen and women sacrifice so much to protect our liberties, both at home and abroad. And it should come as no surprise to anyone that those who serve in the armed forces have some very unique challenges when it comes to maintaining family life. And we're going to talk about that today.
Well, because, Doctor, here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping all families with those difficulties. So you're right. Today, we want to provide some encouragement specifically to the military family.
Well, to help us talk about that, we've invited Colonel Larry Simpson and his wife, Bobby. Colonel Simpson is retired now, spent 27 years, I believe, in the military, in the Air Force, and it's a pleasure to have you all with us today. We do programs here at Family Talk regularly about the military because I'm concerned about some of the pressures that are on military families, military individuals for that matter, whether they're married or have children or not. There's still problems there and things that we should talk about and ways we can help, I think. This couple is in charge of family outreach for Officers Christian Fellowship, which we're going to call OCF. And they are also the co-founders and key facilitators for OCF's Spiritually Smart Family Conferences, retreats, and seminars. Describe what those seminars are. You're holding them all over the country, aren't you?
Yes, sir. All over the country at various military installations and churches, wherever there's an invite, we would be there. Spiritually Smart Families, it's all about helping military members grow in their spiritual fitness, so to speak.
So this is voluntary for the participants?
Absolutely.
They're not sent there by the military?
No, that's right. No, this is voluntary, and people who participate in the conferences, retreats, and seminars are those who are seeking to grow spiritually.
Yes.
Who are seeking ways to perhaps better integrate their military life with their spiritual life, to maintain a strong spiritual focus, to keep the family unit together throughout the challenges of living within the military. So we focus extensively on how to do well spiritually from a deployment standpoint, pre-deployment, getting ready while deployed, and reintegrating after the deployment.
Those are the two big challenges that military families have, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
Deployment?
Deployment and even still relocation. You know, when it's just time to get up and go, that's still a big challenge with military families, not to mention the day-to-day demands of military life. Yes. The military dynamic, you know, the 24/7 duty day that's there, dealing with issues, and as a good friend refers to them as soldier issues sometimes, that can come out of nowhere, and it means to stop, let's take care of it.
What we find as a big challenge related to that is that the leader has to manage the call, the career, and the family. And so many times the family gets the short end, not by intention, but just so many hours in the day. And what we recognize is that military spouses specifically suffer from battle fatigue. And that simply means going in alone, whether it's solo parenting, whether it's trying to hold the relationship together, trying to actually hold the family together while that husband is deployed.
Bobby, you've been married 35 years now.
Yes.
Did you know what you were getting into when you married this gentleman and were looking at a military career?
I am so glad you asked that. I had a clue. Many women have a clue. But for the world to believe that we know what's really there is not true. Hmm. I knew that I was going to have adventure and change and separations. But what many women don't know is the repetition of those, that in a 5-year period of time, the husband might deploy 3 times, that a husband might not see his children born, not see them till their first or whatever birthday.
Miss those birthdays, miss the football games, miss.
Exactly. Mm. And so one of the challenges is the unpredictable nature of this military life. And it can take a toll, though the resilience in these military families says, we can tackle this. We can handle this. Mm-hmm. I think it requires a woman who has determined that she's going to go the distance victoriously in her marriage, that her family, though they may suffer setbacks and trials, can be strong. Mm. Now, battle fatigue and then this resilience, how do they marry? There is this overload of deploy, redeploy, come back home, high ups tempo, training. Even when the man comes home, he may not be home.
Mm. Mm. You've already used a couple of phrases here, Bobby. Those of us who are not in the military,
yes.
You got to remember, you speak a whole different language. Battle fatigue. What do you mean by that?
Battle fatigue. For the home front spouse, that simply means she's carrying a larger burden without her husband there. Mm-hmm. Carrying that burden, we can do it, but for how long? Mm-hmm. And having done it a year, 12 months, 15, he returns. In 6 months, he goes back again.
Yeah.
And so that battle fatigue is, I'm in this cycle of going it alone, of parenting, of bearing up under, and really just getting us through. And that is what I mean by battle fatigue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Colonel, talk about deployment in the sense that usually the husband, but it could be the husband or the wife, is sent to Iraq or Afghanistan or someplace and is gone perhaps for a year, then reentering, coming back, where she's been the decision maker and she has been really the head of the home. Mm-hmm. And he comes back, and adjusting to that process is really difficult, isn't it?
It's difficult and it's challenging, but it must be intentional to readjust, having done it myself.
That you mean you just determined to make it?
Yes, I just determined to make it. And I also determined to respect her and what the battle rhythm, another term, that she has had to keep with the children and all of the other emergencies that may have come up and the school issues and trying to parent without me, particularly with a pre-teenage kid, and respecting what she has gone through. So instead of coming back and wrestling control back from her, that says, no, you know, I know that you've been doing this, honey, but I'm back. I'm going to take it over. Well, she has perhaps become quite adept at handling that. And that might be an area that she wants to hang on to.
Yes.
Well, I followed a bumper sticker the other day. You've probably seen it. Don't confuse your rank with my authority.
Yes.
Well stated. That's kind of what you're describing.
That's right. Yeah.
So you feel a little bit alone sometimes coming back, though. You got to find your place in the family. Your wife's been home. She's been parenting. She's been disciplining. She's been shopping. She's been scheduling. She's been keeping the maintenance of the house up and the vehicles. And you come home and, hey, we've taken care of things without you for a year.
Yes.
And we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay. I think it goes both ways. You know, as soon as the spouse returns, the stay-at-home spouse may say, here it is. You have it.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
You know, and I'm taking a break.
You're home.
Yeah,
I'm out.
That's right. Yeah. Now, you do this. You deal with this. Well, that can present some obvious problems,
sure,
because of the returning member needs to adjust. and decompress and recollect, and they need to, you know, communicate about what's been going on and kind of redefine, perhaps, who they are as a couple.
Yes.
And come to some agreement, you know, I think giving it time to readjust. So there's a bit of you're back, here you go. And then there's the other extreme that says you're back. Okay, well, I got this. You watched the way that I handle it. And I've been doing this pretty good. As a matter of fact, while you were gone, you know, that was a concern. And now I have it all polished and shined up.
That's right.
And
that's
I want
right.
to keep this. Yes.
What are some suggestions that can make deployment easier? I read the other day that one woman said, just as soon as my husband deployed, everything went wrong.
Everything.
Car broke down.
Yes.
Everything. That's typical,
that
isn't it?
That is typical.
Why are
that
you pointing
typical.
At Bobby?
Bobby had never had a car accident until maybe the week after I deployed.
Yes, absolutely. So the question really is, how can we make this work? How can we make this deployment and this reintegration optimal? And I think that is the word. And I think it begins with taking on the leadership in his absence, but not his authority. Mm-hmm. I find that when Larry deployed, my challenge was to keep him present in the minds of our children.
Right, that's really important. How in the world do you do that? He's gone. He's in Iraq or someplace.
Yes. Yeah. Every meal, Dad was present. Every morning, wonder what Dad's doing. Mm-hmm. How can we pray for him today? At the end of a day, what do we want to share with Dad? You know, and just really affirming the things that we knew to be true about him, keeping him very present, keeping him abreast as much as possible of the changes, of the challenges, so that he wouldn't come back kind of a stranger
out of touch. Has the internet done a lot to help with communication?
Absolutely. The internet, Skype. Mm-hmm. I told our kids when I left once that I am only as far from them as they are from the computer.
Hmm.
So, you know, send me an email. Emails go quickly, and we carried on dialogues over the email. You can coordinate times to talk, and that's done through units. And so, you know, Afghanistan and those type places are equipped to do that.
And yet, Colonel and Bobby, crises don't occur by a schedule.
No, they don't.
You know, and your emotions don't occur on schedule. So I'm thinking if you know you can get in touch with him, Bobby, on Saturday night, by Saturday night, you may have gone through three different episodes with your children. And then maybe by Saturday night, you're not feeling well or you're a little cranky or something like that. But that's your one window of opportunity.
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
Yes. I think with a very good support system. I had a wife email me last night, text me actually, said, can you call me? And I said, sure. And she had a struggle that she didn't want to mention to her family because they really don't understand all of the dynamics of what's happening in the military life. But another woman who has gone through that would. Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing. We are, most military women, capable women. Most of them educated. Most of them have been in or will be in the workforce. They love their families. And they figure out ways to get through these things without their husband. The challenge is not to blame him for not being there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to say, he's never here. Mm-hmm. He's not here when I need him.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we battle that and we know the truth. He would be here if he could. The other thing, and let's just put that on the table, It's the spiritual strength that we have. We know that we have help, and that help is the Lord. Mm-hmm. One of my key verses for this month is Isaiah 64:4, and basically it says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard of a God who works for those who wait for him." The women that I work with in three Bible studies that I teach each week, one on a Navy base, Army base, Air Force base, these are typically marriage studies. Why are they there? They want to know how to do this.
Bobby, did you consider your role as a calling?
Doctor, absolutely. Early in our military career, we knew that we had something that a lot of couples didn't have. It was that faith in Christ. It was that strength, that third cord, that, and we knew it. So we saw others struggling, and we began in little ways to come alongside them. We believe that our military experience, coupled with our faith, is just what the Lord had in mind, because we can help some people. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of those marriage tips you share with the women? For instance, I'm thinking if I go to a conference, they'll say, spend 15 minutes every night debriefing with your husband and have a date night once a week. Both of those would not work for a gentleman who is deployed. So what are some of the key issues that you address with them, Bobby?
Well, actually, you mentioned tips or keys. One of the things I say to women is work to please the Lord, not your husband. You say, what's that really about? The deal is this. If I'm working to please him and it's not working, he's not reciprocating, he's not giving in kind, deployed or not deployed, if I'm working to please him, I may quit when it doesn't seem to work. But if I'm working to please the Lord, I will not quit. Mm. That is my personal testimony in 35 years of marriage. The other thing is, honestly, don't give up time with God to do more for or with others. This is right at the heart of marriage. My strength in my marriage, my ability to forgive, my ability to confront lovingly, my ability to keep serving when that serving may not be reciprocal. It is so tied to what I get daily from our Lord.
And so not allowing yourself to become isolated at home without friends, without church, without social contact. That is a key.
That's huge, Doctor. That is huge. And that's what the military community offers. Spouse to spouse, chapels, parachurch groups such as OCF, which is really what we do.
Colonel, you must have had plenty of good reason to appreciate this lady.
I married up. I definitely married up. And she is a strong lady. I watched her educate our children on how to handle my being gone, doing deployments, and when I was on inspection teams that would keep me on the road extensively, putting the positive spin on everything. And she still does it today, but she did it extensively. She and the kids would write notes, put them tucked away in different places so that, you know, in a certain time I would open up and I would find, you know, that type of a deal. And so, so she explains, I think I heard you say this long time ago, mom or wife, explain dad to the kids. And I think I got that quote from you. And so that's what she does.
When you're about to be deployed, is there preparation with the kids that takes place?
You know, trying to keep things normal. And from talking to all of the military folks who we interact with on a daily basis, that's also, you know, that would be their counsel too. Try to keep things normal. There's the emotional roller coaster that starts in getting ready to go. But not playing into that, doing those normal things, taking the kids for a hike, whatever it is, you know, roller skating. And then when it's time to go, you know, it's time to go.
You know, I have not experienced what you're talking about, but in a sense I have. Because my father was an evangelist and he was gone My mother raised me, and he would be gone for a month or 6 weeks. I just remember that big lump in my throat when he would get ready to go. And I would want to cry, but as a little man, I didn't think I should. And it was really hard. So I think that's one reason I can identify with some of the people who are listening to us today who say, it's really been murder.
It's really tough. And I can recall after my second deployment came up fairly soon after my first one and talking to my son who was—
How long were you home in between?
I'm going to say a year. I think about a year. Mm-hmm. And then it was time to go again and to be gone for a year. Mm-hmm. And that was really tough. And I can recall, this is hard, talking to my son or looking at him because I wanted to be there.
You can feel that at this moment, can't you?
Yes, sir.
The kids cry and hang on you.
My concern was not being an absent dad. And, you know, I had a good dad, but he wasn't always there. And one of the things that I wanted to do or to make sure in being a father was to be there for my kids. And so my son, he was approaching the age of 10, 11, you know, that important time. And I talked to him, you know, I said, hey, you know, and I was really struggling with it. He and I walked around the block and this little 10 or 11 year old kid, after me sharing my heart about the struggle, about not wanting to go, he looked at me and said, go ahead, Dad. Go. Oh, I'll be all right. Mm-hmm. And so that's some of the resiliency that we see come from military kids. Mm-hmm. You know, the challenges that they endure also become blessings in one sense. Yes. That this young 11-year-old kid would look at me and could hear and understood and said, go ahead and do it.
That's a tender spot in your heart, isn't it? And that's so you get on a plane or a ship or whatever the means of transportation is, and you're thinking about those children at home and knowing you won't see them for a year. I'm telling you, to the people we're talking to now who are not military families and not familiar with this, this is the source of the appreciation that we talked about. Yeah. Because the people who are doing that are looking out for us and for our country and for our welfare. Mm-hmm. And it really is important for us to reach out to them. Do you find that civilians do that in the church and elsewhere?
Extensively, and it is greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. Churches that are very military friendly, so to speak, arms open wide to military people. So the love that's shown throughout is greatly appreciated.
Hmm. Well, Ryan and Luann, this is a complex topic and one that we really do need to come back to and deal with it from various angles. And we have in the past, and we will continue to do so. But Colonel and Mrs. Simpson, thank you all for being our guests. And we've got a lot more that we want to talk to you about. So stay where you are. We're going to continue to discuss this topic, and we'll let our listeners hear this tomorrow.
All right.
Thank you, Doctor.
Okay. Certainly will.
And we will look forward to that. In the meantime, those of you who are right in the midst of some of the issues that have been discussed today can find resources at drjamesdobson.org. There we've linked to some Officers Christian Fellowship articles arranged by topic to help military families.
And there you'll also find more information about the events our guests lead across the country. Again, those are called Spiritually Smart Families Conferences.
And lastly, we would love to offer you a wonderful book by Ellie Kay. It's called Heroes at Home, Help and Hope for America's Military Families. You can find that at drjamesdobson.org, along with a CD of this two-part discussion that we are in the middle of with the Simpsons, just in case you'd like to keep a copy on your shelf or even pass it along to a serviceman or woman you think would be helped by it.
If you'd prefer to call us for that broadcast CD, our number is 877-732-6825. And when you're on the line, ask about how you can become a monthly supporter of Family Talk.
We rely so much on those of you who are linking arms with us and those of you who support us on an ongoing basis. Truly, it's because of you that we're able to offer this help to military families today. So thank you for that.
You can donate when you're on our smartphone app or at drjamesdobson.org. Or one last time, our phone number is 877-732-6825.
We're so glad you could spend this time with us today, and we do invite you to return next time for more with Colonel and Mrs. Simpson on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us by downloading the new Family Talk mobile app. You can not only use the app to hear our broadcast 24 hours a day, but you can view video commentaries or get answers to your family-related questions with our Solid Answers tool. They're all free and available on Android, iPhone, and iPad devices. I hope you'll visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.